Luke's gospel this morning, chapter 24. And you know, the resurrection, without it, there's no Christianity. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith, the cornerstone of Christianity. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is no eternal life. Death is won. Our sins are not forgiven. But we know that Jesus is alive, and he's defeated death and hell and the grave and the wicked one, the devil. He has triumphed over them because the single greatest event in the history of mankind has already occurred 2,000 years ago. Jesus has risen from the dead. Loved one, listens to me now. It's amazing as I stand here in the emptiness of this chapel, but not in the emptiness of my heart or mind. It's amazing that the historical time, this time frame that we're in right this minute, it's amazing how the church, we, the body of Christ, have we not come full circle, going all the way back to the very beginning of the church, before the beginning of the church. Here we are on this first Easter. If we look at the first Easter Sunday, we go back, and what were the disciples doing? Well, they were sheltering in place. Not only that, they were distancing themselves from everyone else, practicing social distancing. Distancing, why? Because of the fear of the Jews. They'd locked themselves in a room. That's what was going on the first Easter. Isn't that amazing how we've come full circle? Now we're back meeting in our homes like the early church did. And you know what? I give praise to God because I know he's with us every step of the way. Listen, Good Friday is way over forever. Thank God that Jesus died for the sins of the world, for our sins. But Good Friday is forever over, and we know that Easter is not about death, but it certainly is about life. I pray that you and all the family, that the kids are awake and they're all, wherever you are, the living room or maybe the kitchen table, the dining room, wherever you've decided to set yourself, that we are going to make sure that we're prepared to celebrate communion at the end of this service. Let's look this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And as we do, go to verse 1, and we're going to look at the very first Easter, and I'm going to cover these first few verses quickly as I want to get to our main text this morning. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, we know that to be Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now they brought the spices to finish the funeral, the anointing the body of our Lord and so forth. They weren't looking for a risen Savior. They believed him dead. And then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by in shining garments. Now, we know from verse, 23, they were, of course, angels. Then, as they were afraid, they bowed their faces on the earth and said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" What a wonderful question. In other words, see, they believed that Jesus was dead, that he did not rise. And look at these great words that we love dearly. The angel said, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And as they remembered his words, meaning the words of the Lord, then they returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them, look at that, like idle tales or just pure nonsense. And they did not believe the women. Now listen, isn't it amazing that the first people to doubt the resurrection were the apostles themselves? But Jesus had risen from the dead. And look what Peter did. He ran to the tomb. He stooped down. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He departed, marveling himself at what had happened. We know that an empty tomb does not produce faith, loved one. Everyone believed Jesus dead. The women, Pilate, all of the Jews, and certainly the 11. Now this morning, we look into one of the greatest texts in the Word of God. It's an incredible, moving narrative, greater than probably many other in the entire New Testament, only recorded by Luke. Let's look at these two men, and what a fitting word this is for us this morning on the road to Emmaus. Verse 13. Now behold, two of them, meaning these disciples, they were traveling that same day, meaning Resurrection Sunday. And it says they were going to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. I don't believe they were social distancing like we are right now. I don't believe they were wearing masks. And they walked together, and look what they did. They talked together of all these things which had happened. So here we know the story of these two people, these disciples. We know that they were hopeless. We know that they were discouraged. We know that they were leaving Jerusalem. We know that they did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And they're on a long 7 mile walk to their home in Emmaus. And as they walked, they talked. They talked about what had happened. They talked about the horror of Good Friday, Jesus dying upon the cross. They talked about the darkness that consumed the world at that time from noon to 3, the earthquakes. They talked about the women and their report that Jesus wasn't in the tomb and that the angels told them not to be afraid and so forth. And it says, so it was while they conversed and reasoned, which literally means they were totally, completely absorbed, not paying attention to anything else. They were absorbed in the things they were talking about. And look what happened. And that Jesus himself, he drew near and he went with them. Isn't it amazing how Jesus loves to meet with people on Sunday? I hope you're laughing. That's my only joke, okay? Now, but that's not a joke. He does, amen. We're gathered together. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, listen carefully, loved one, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk along and you are sad? What a word for Calvary Chapel. What a word for every person listening live right now. What a word for the world. Listen, ask yourself this. What kind of conversation have you been having this week? I asked myself the same thing. Some of them were not filled with a lot of faith, loved one, and not complaining about all the things that are happening. What have you been having one long, sad conversation after another? A report or a poll just came out concerning the church, and it said this. 34% of the congregants, they say right now, today, we need a message of hope from their churches right now. Well, I'll tell you what, I have a message of hope for you, so don't tune off. Just stay connected. Not only that, 27% say they need connection. They need community. Boy, I understand that. But we're still one. We're still together. Nothing can separate us from the Lord. Absolutely nothing. Nothing has changed in that spiritual arena, loved one. Nothing at all. And not only that, it says 21% need emotional support. I agree with that. We need to call out and talk to people and love them and pick them up. Pray for them. Now, and you may be saying, yeah, Bill, my conversation all week long, leading up to Resurrection Sunday, I'm sad. America's sad. Matter of fact, the whole world is sad. I understand that. I'm sad too, but I still have hope. You know, it's okay to be sad. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to be glad. But you know what? We have Christ Jesus, the risen Lord. Yes, we are in the midst of a global pandemic. There's no doubt about it. And you know, that's what everyone is talking about. I know that's all the news is talking about. And yes, we're sheltering in place. Yes, we have to now put on masks and so forth. When I went to the grocery store the other day to pick up just a barkeep, you know, barkeep, that's what you, it's like Ajax or something. I'm not for sure. But anyway, there wasn't even Ajax. There wasn't even barkeep. There wasn't anything hardly on the shelves. You know, I understand all that. And yes, I'm not going to deny it. Our hospitals, especially New York and other places up in the Michigan area and others, yeah, they are suffering. Boy, I mean, they lack the PPE equipment that's needed and so forth. They're working long hours. They're facing death. Yes, the morgues are full. It's so tragic when you look on the news and you see the trenches that they're digging for the graves in New York. It's horrible. Yes. And I know that now most in our nation, we just surpassed all the world in pandemic deaths. Over 20,000. See, we can be sad. We can say, yeah, Bill, I'm so sad because I'm watching the global economy. It's collapsing right before my eyes. There's food lines in certain cities. And yes, it's 17 million people are out of work. No doubt about it. It's a fact. We're seeing it. We're living it. We're in a moment of history, if you will. But let me tell you something. In the midst of all that, I know that you're saying, Bill, my entire life has been turned upside down. My entire everything, my world has changed. Yes, it has. But on this Resurrection Sunday, loved one, listen to me. Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. He is still the same loved one. And listen, here, the resurrected Lord, the risen Lord, before he ascends, his love hasn't changed. He comes up to two hopeless people. Are you hopeless? Then why don't you expect a visit from him right this minute? Because Jesus always comes to make himself known. He hasn't changed. Oh, loved one, listen, Jesus is alive. He's not dead to your circumstances. He understands your emotions. He knows everything that you're going through. But these two disciples, listen to me now, they were uselessly sad. They didn't have to be sad. There was no reason for them to be discouraged. And the reason that they were, they didn't believe the Lord. You see, they were walking in unbelief. They didn't believe the things that he said, that he would rise the third day. He told them that. Listen, God hasn't changed. Yes, our world is changing right now, but you know what? God's promises haven't changed. They are yes, and again, I say yes and amen in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you know what? Our Savior is alive. He is still for you. He is still with you. He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And listen, no one loves you, cares for you like Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care, your burden, your anxiety, whatever you're facing right now, whatever is tearing you apart, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. You should say that right now. Jesus cares for me. He loves you, he cares for you, and he will come to you just like he came to those two disciples. So what does Jesus do? It's amazing. He loves them so much. He loves us so much. What does he do now? He's going to journey with them for 7 miles, and he won't reveal himself until that 7-mile journey is over. Look at verse 18. And then one of those was Cleophas, answered and said to him, "Wow, man, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, what things?" Now, Jesus already knows what things, but he's just arousing their interest, if you will. He loves them. He says, "What things?" And so they said to him, "Well, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was," past tense, "who was a mighty prophet, who was a powerful in word and deed before God, before all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." Jesus said to those two disciples that were broken, who were lonely, who were sad, discouraged, he said these two words, "What things?" That, when I read that, listen to me now, what love is that? What is Jesus doing? He is so patient, loved one. Jesus is giving Cleophas, what, the opportunity to pour out his heart and tell him what's bothering. And that's what Jesus, you know, we can pour our heart out to God. He loves us. He hears us. You know, they were talking in the past tense. He was a mighty prophet, but he's not now. He's a dead man. We saw him die in Jerusalem. We saw the burial. No. He was mighty in word and deed and all that. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He fed the thousands. He did all of those things. But it's gone. He's dead. And not only that, he was mighty in word. Oh, the way he spake like no man ever spake, the Bible says. No, and we, look at verse 21, and we were, past tense, we were hoping. But see, they're not hoping anymore. All their hope is gone. I pray your hope's not gone this morning. He says, oh, we were hoping that it was, past tense, he, meaning Jesus, who was going to redeem Israel. Now that doesn't, they didn't understand the redemption by the blood like we do. They were talking about the redemption from Rome, to defeat Rome, and Jesus to set up his kingdom. He says, and besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that also they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us, well, they went to the tomb. That was Peter and John, of course. And they found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. You see, there was no faith in this at all. Loved one, listen to me now. You know, I've talked to so many people that have been going through so many things. These words may be your same words. You may be saying, you know what? I was hoping, but man, when this coronavirus hit, everything changed in my life. I mean, I was to start my brand new dream job that very week. And then when they did what they did, the shut-ins and the sheltering in place, he says, even though I probably have the job, I can't go to work at all until all of this is over. And some of you, like I've talked to young people, and they go, you know what? I'm not going to have a prom. I wanted to graduate with all of my friends from high school and so forth, but that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, I talked with people. We were getting ready to get married, but then they said only 10 can attend. And then my grandparents that will live out of state, they were afraid to fly, and I don't blame them. They couldn't come. Everything in my life has changed. The coronavirus has changed our lives. Yes, it has. Everything changes. But you know what? Jesus, he never changes at all. You know, these two sad, discouraged disciples, it wasn't that they didn't love the Lord. They still loved Jesus. You know, they wanted to be with the Lord, and they still believed in Jesus with all of their heart. But boy, when you lose hope, it was their hope that was destroyed. Hope deferred, the Bible says, it makes the heart sick. And that's what was wrong. They were hopeless. Why? Because they were only focusing on what happened on Good Friday. They looked at his death as it didn't do any good. In other words, the impact of his death, you know, was and the cross and all of it, they considered it a failure. Oh, loved one, listen. No, they're too late. We're going home. It's all over with. Now look at Jesus, what he did. He said, and Jesus said to them, oh boys, hey, I understand. Times are really rough and man, I guess it's just a bummer, right? That's not what the Lord said. Look what he said. He said to them, oh foolish ones. And that's not a word of contempt. He loves these guys. That was a tender word. He said, oh, foolish ones, like you little foolish sheep. He said, what, you're slow of heart to believe, look at this word, in everything that the prophets have spoken. He didn't say that they were slow of mind. They weren't slow of mind. They were slow of heart. Why? As it says in Romans 10, it says, with the heart one believes unto salvation. With the heart you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus be my Lord and God will save you. No, it's with the heart man believes. So listen, let's not be like them right now. Let's not be slow in heart, loved one, with all the things that are happening. Man, let us believe that all that God has promised. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know Christ, listen to me now. That verse that I just read is a wake-up call for every person on this earth. The risen Lord said for you not to believe in Christ, for you not to believe in the Bible, you'd be a foolish person. John 17, 17, Jesus said, my word or thy word is truth. And look what Jesus says. He says, ought not, or literally, was it not necessary for the Messiah, the Christ, to have suffered these things, and he suffered them for us, remember, and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses, the first five books of the Bible, beginning at Moses, and then all of the prophets, he expounded, or literally, he explained to them, watch this now, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That is an amazing statement. Did you know that all the Bible is filled with, for you and for me, with supernatural, divine facts from God? Jesus said, everything that's written, let me go over it with you. Let me show you who that I am. We're not told where he went. He probably started in the first book of Moses, which is Genesis. He probably went back to the garden area, Genesis 3:15, that promise that the seed would come and so forth and crush the devil and all those things. I don't know. But I know that when we look at the word of God and you just take the Psalms, written 1,000 years before this event ever occurred that we're studying. You know, the psalmist had said in Psalm 22, he said this, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, they heard that from the cross. They should have known. And Jesus goes through and he shows all the scriptures, especially Psalm 22. They pierce my hands. They pierce my feet. They cast lots for my garment and so forth. Isaiah, I gave my back to them. I gave my beard, or they plucked out my beard. All the things, the scourging he talks about that just occurred. But now he's risen from the dead. Or how about Zechariah? I think it's chapter 11 or 12. And he talks about how he was betrayed, but he was betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. Surely Jesus probably, no doubt, used that scripture. And then it says in verse 28, and then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, or he was acting like he wasn't going to stay, to egg them on. Now watch. But they constrained the resurrected Lord. They constrained him. That means they was almost applying force. They were begging him, please don't leave. No, please don't leave at all. You have to stay with us, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent. In other words, it's nearly night. And Jesus went in to stay with them. Now listen, these two disciples who had walked 7 miles with the resurrected Lord, they did not know it was a resurrected Lord. And here they are constraining or restraining the creator, the sustainer of all of the earth, loved one. Think about that. Man is constraining the omnipotent God, the resurrected Savior. It's amazing to me. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he wouldn't mind being constrained by us right now. Don't leave, Jesus. Well, he already promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. But where we believe with all of our heart that he is definitely here with us right this minute. I know that this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, more than any other Resurrection Sunday that I've ever been or in my life, your life, if there was ever a time where Jesus would say to his bride, yeah, constrain me, because I need to make myself known to you in a fresh way, in a new way. See, he understands all that we're going through right this minute. And that's what these disciples were doing. That's why I say it was written for us. Listen, Jesus did not leave them in their hopelessness. He did not leave them in their discouragement. He did not leave them in their doubts and their unbelief. None of those things. And you know what? I know with all of my heart, even though my mind tries to tell me different at times, I know that my Savior and your Savior will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never, no, never, no, never, no, never relax his hold upon you. Never. He is with us right this minute through all the things that are going on. And now it came to pass, watch this, he's in the home, just like you're in the home. It came to pass as Jesus sat, or literally he reclined at the table with them. Look what he did. He took bread. He blessed it, or he gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to them, these two sad, discouraged, hopeless disciples. And look what happened. And then something happened to them just in the breaking of bread. It says that their eyes were opened and they knew him. In other words, they recognized Jesus. They now believed in their heart, in other words, that Jesus wasn't dead, that Jesus was alive. And he was alive to all of the issues that they were facing. And man, it says, look what happened. And then here he appears and he vanished out of their sight, out of their eyesight. He didn't vanish out of their hearts, loved one, not at all. Now listen, this is the first Easter. This is the first Easter evening, and what does Jesus do? He enters into a home, and instead of being the guest, he now becomes the host. And I want to ask you a question, because we're going to celebrate communion in just a little bit. What opened their eyes? What opened their eyes? There they are. They're in a home. They're sitting at a table, or actually they're reclining at a table. And Jesus takes the bread and he breaks the bread. Now, there are those who say, well, Bill, obviously, they saw the nail prints in his hand. No, the scripture doesn't say that at all. Now, I'm not saying that didn't happen. I'm just saying that's not what the Word of God said. Or you might be saying, well, it was the way that he broke the bread. It doesn't say that at all. Listen to me now. Why did Jesus break bread? Because they saw failure on Good Friday. They saw failure in the cross. They saw failure in his death. They believed him dead. And so Jesus said, why have you forgotten what I've done for you? Why have you forgotten that I died for the sins of all the world? He picks up the bread. Obviously, they'd seen him do that. And what does he do? He reminds them. And the moment he breaks the bread, remember which is his body. Then all of a sudden, they got it. This broken bread will remind you. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? He went through, remember, from Moses all the way through the prophets and the Psalms and so forth, the Old Testament scriptures, and they came alive. They were burning in his heart. Now listen, I know this pandemic, I know that we have to be honest with ourselves. And I know it is trying to extinguish, just put out the living Word of God, that fire that's in our hearts. My prayer right today, loved one, is that starting right now, no matter what we see, no matter the circumstances that we're facing, that, loved one, you let the promises of God start burning again in your heart, and you stand on the promises. You don't walk by what you see. You walk by faith, and the just shall live by faith and by every word of God. And that's what we need to do. Listen, did you notice it wasn't their talking to Jesus that got them burned, their hearts all kindled? It was Jesus talking to them. Why not go into the Bible, man? Open up the New Testament, start reading the red, and pray for the power. Somebody said that about 40 years ago. Rebecca and I remember that. You know, read the red. That's the words of Christ. Pray for the power. You have that power. Don't be in your home sheltered in and be in a defeated people. Don't do that at all. You stand. He says, now look what happened. They rose up that very hour, not the next day. Man, they just walked 7 miles. Watch this. The very moment they returned to Jerusalem, 7 miles back to the city, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered. In other words, there they go, gathered together. They were all sheltering in place, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon, meaning Peter. And he says, and they told about the things that had happened on the road, and underline this, and how the risen, resurrected Savior of the world, how Jesus was known to them, how? In the breaking of bread. There's something there that I don't understand. It's deeper than I know how to teach. I want you, if you would, return with me to verse 30. On this Easter morning, on here, the first Easter, again, where Jesus becomes the host. He's not the guest. Now look at verse 30 again. It came to pass as Jesus reclined at the table with them that Jesus took bread. He blessed, that word literally, he gave thanks. He broke the bread. He gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They knew him. He vanished out of their sight. Did you catch that? Isn't it interesting that what Jesus said there, the words are almost verbatim of the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm not saying they were having the Lord's Supper. That's not what I'm saying. But it's almost verbatim. Remember, it says, when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus took. Jesus gave thanks. Jesus broke. Now listen carefully. What kind of bread did he serve? And what kind of bread did he use? Remember that Jesus, our Lord, he died on Good Friday. That was Passover. He died on Friday at the Feast of Passover. He was the Passover lamb, if you will. John 1:29. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're redeemed, how? By the blood. That Feast of Passover, they put the blood upon the lentil, remember, and they went out of Egypt. The death angel passed over them and so forth. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it tells us in 1:18 that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. So on Passover, Christ died. But he was buried that evening, which was the beginning of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Remember, leaven is a type of sin in the Bible. And you put yeast and so forth in the bread, and what happens? It rises, it expands, just like sin. Sin corrupts, sin spreads. It just keeps going on and on. And so the Jews that evening, after Christ died, they weren't allowed for 7 days to eat with their meals, nothing but the unleavened bread, okay? Now, with all that being said, unleavened bread speaks of the removal of sin. See, Jesus served the bread, meaning the sin that he's taken out of our lives. He's paid the sin debt of the world. Jesus died for our sins. And what did Jesus do the moment they got that? The moment in the breaking of bread, he vanished. Why did he do that? Boy, if there has ever been a word and a lesson for us, we need to embrace it right now in the midst of this virus, in the midst of all that's happening, the midst of all the uncertainty. But God's not uncertain. The world's uncertain. But we're not of this world. This is not, listen, we have no continuing city here. We're seeking one to come, loved one. No. This world is going to pass away. But this lesson, Jesus vanished. You know what that lesson needs to be right now in our hearts? That Jesus wants, he wanted them to know, but he wants us right now, the 21st century church, right this minute to know that his church, to know this, that even though we have lost, in other words, his bodily presence, we've lost absolutely nothing. Listen, loved one, the resurrection means that we have the continuing, ongoing presence of the living Lord. Right now, even this moment, where two are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. You said, well, Bill, I'm single, and so I'm by myself. Oh, no, you're with me. We're together. Wherever two are gathered, Jesus is right there, loved one. Listen, the resurrection, again, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Now listen to me. See, I don't see you, Calvary Chapel. I don't see those that are listening live right now at all. As a matter of fact, I don't see anyone here. Do you understand? But listen now. But I know you're there. I know that you're out there. Yes, I've lost temporarily, your bodily presence. But I haven't lost you. You haven't lost me. Remember what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:8, it talking about Jesus. He says, oh, whom having not seen, you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible. Whenever Thomas came up to the Lord, remember in the upper room, and said, you know, told the disciples, if I'm not going to believe unless I could put my hand into his side, into the pierced of his hands, and put my finger there, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus appeared immediately, says, oh, Thomas, don't be faithless, but be believing. Here, put your finger. Put it in my side, Thomas. He says to him, oh, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. See, I know you're out there. I don't see Jesus right now, but I know that he's here. I know that the risen Savior will never leave us. He will never, ever forsake us. Now listen to me. This is so vital that we see this morning. Did you notice that in the intimacy of a home, your home right now, you're in a home, you're sheltering in place. In the intimacy of table fellowship, maybe you're on the couch, maybe you're there at the kitchen table, I don't know, but you're there. In the intimacy of all of that, what happened? They recognized the risen Savior among them. How did that happen? Look back again at verse 35, so important. And they told the disciples there in Jerusalem what had happened on the road. Now here it comes. And how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of bread. I pray as we celebrate communion in just a few seconds, as you have everything prepared at your home, loved one, listen, I pray in Jesus' name that you know that this is his body that's broken for you. And I believe, listen to me, that wherever Christ is invited, maybe you're in your car, maybe you're, like I said, you're propped up in the bedroom with coffee. I don't know. But I know this, wherever you are, the place where Jesus, our Lord, the resurrected Lord, wherever he is invited, that place, right now it's your home. Right here, it's me in the chapel. That place becomes a place of revelation. Their eyes were opened. And may our eyes be opened today. With all that we're facing, not knowing how long all this is going to last, not knowing any of the things, all that we know is what God says, and I trust God more than I trust anybody and anything else. That's where we stand. And that first Easter, what did they do? Look just quickly, that late that night, it says in verse 36, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst. In other words, he appeared supernaturally and said, oh, peace. He says, but they were terrified. They were frightened. They supposed they'd seen a spirit or a ghost. See, Jesus just, boom, he was in the room, man, just appeared instantly. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why are doubts arising in your heart? Now, look what he says. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. That is I, it's myself, I'm your Lord, I'm your Savior, I'm not dead, I'm alive. He says, look at this, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see, as I have. And when he said this, look what he did again. He showed them his hands, he showed them his feet, the marks of the crucifixion. Jesus could have proved himself alive in any way he wanted to. He could have written the entire Bible in the sky of the universe if he wanted to. He could have every angel, seraphim, cherubim show up. He could have done anything. He could have created a brand new world if he wanted to prove that he had risen from the dead. But what did he do? He says, listen, all you have to do to have a revelation of me is look at my hands and just look at my feet, the nail prints of Calvary. Isn't it amazing, loved one, what Jesus did 40 days later as he ascended, as he led them out to Bethany and so forth? You know the story. And what did Jesus do as he parted from them, as he was going back up into heaven? What did he do? He made sure one more time that he lifted up his nail-pierced hands. And it says there in verse 50, right in that area, it says he blessed them. He blessed them. Why did Jesus do that? He wanted to give them one more visual reminder. See, this is more than a blessing. It's like the Lord saying to us today and to them as well, when he lifted up his hands, the hands that were pierced and the feet that were pierced. You know what he was really saying? He says, listen, I'm parting from you. I'm going to where all authority is, seated at the right hand of God. But don't worry, I'm going to come back for you. He said this, when he lifted his hands, he was saying to the disciples, he's saying to us on this Resurrection Sunday in 2020, he says, I'm alive. Don't you ever forget the cross. Don't you ever forget the empty tomb. Don't you ever forget how I proved myself to you. Don't you ever forget when I rose from the dead, I conquered death. You will never die. You will never taste death. I defeated him, the wicked one who had the power over death. I rendered him completely inoperative. Don't you ever forget as he lifted up those hands, the resurrected Lord. He says, don't you ever, ever forget that I paid the sin debt of the world, that I paid your sin debt. He said, and he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. The last visual that he gave them. How powerful is that? Listen, he parted from them. I pray that you have the elements ready as we're getting ready to celebrate communion. But listen to me now, before I step down to the table, the Lord's table, in the intimacy of your home, you're my family, I'm your family. Listen, we are one. As we proclaim our oneness to the world, isn't it amazing? People all across the nation and around the world who have tuned in, they're loved ones, we're going to have communion together. We're all going to celebrate the Lord's table, all of us together. So in the intimacy of your home, in whatever table or wherever you are, that place of fellowship and intimacy, remember this, that when the bread is broken for you, that Jesus revealed himself to those in the breaking of bread. May he reveal himself to you, because we need a fresh vision. We need to see a fresh vision of the throne of grace this morning. And listen to me, as we celebrate our unity and we celebrate and proclaim our oneness that we have in Christ, we are his body. We share his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. Right this minute, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not only do we share his position, loved one, we, because we're in Christ, we have overcome this lousy world that is passing away. And people say, Bill, well, we need to meet today. Okay, I wanted to. But you know what? You can't quarantine the church. No, the church is not a building. You can't quarantine or cancel God's word. It's everlasting. It endures forever and ever and ever and ever. So as we step down, as I step down to the table, and as you prepare to celebrate communion with me, I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to join me, because I want us to celebrate communion as well. All of us, remember this now, as we celebrate communion this morning. Isn't she pretty? As we celebrate as a family this morning, that the place where Jesus is invited becomes the place of revelation. He's here. This is his table. His table, loved one, is temporary. It will not last forever. And Jesus said this, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. And he says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is the unleavened bread, the removal of sin from our lives. Jesus has paid the sin debt The wages of sin is death, loved one, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Jesus says, as he broke the bread, he says, take, eat. This is my body. And as you eat, do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake in Jesus' name. Our Lord said this, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Loved one, listen. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Oh, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. As you hold the cup, let us partake together. Father, we give you praise, we give you thanks. Lord, we're still one. We're still together. Nothing, absolutely nothing, not death, sword, peril, famine, pestilence, coronavirus, whatever it might be, nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, Becky and I, we love you and we miss you and we cannot wait until we see you again. But now I want to talk to those that are listening. Now listen, you don't know the Lord. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, listen, today's the day to do it. There are those that are listening right now. You fear death. You don't want to die. You fear dying. Listen, Jesus died in your place where you would never have to taste the full depth of what death is. He died for you. He tasted death, the Bible says, for everyone. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said this, most assuredly, I say to you, to you that are, if you don't know the Lord, listen. Jesus said, I say to you right now, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death into life. I say unto you in Jesus' name, would you come? Please hear. Please believe. Here's what you do. Just simply say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Pray that with me right now. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe with all of my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I confess you now as my Lord. Save me. Lord, make me your own. In Jesus' name. I'm saved. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to do something. You write this down right now. Type it into your phone or whatever, but I want you to email me at info@loveneverfails.com. That's info@loveneverfails.com. Send me your address, and when you do, I'm going to send you this booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God, Beginning a Brand New Life in Christ. It's a great little book. You need it. You need it now. So make sure that you email me, send me your address, and it'll be sent out to you the first thing in the morning. And now to the Calvary Chapel family, I love you. I miss you horribly, but you know what? We're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to stand strong in Christ our Savior. We are not a defeated people. We cannot be defeated because we are the church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. Happy Resurrection Day. In Jesus' name, I love you dearly.